Hello, and welcome to the Compton School Podcast. Coming up on the show, we have our fresh new edition, which is The Bywater Show, where Miss Bywater and Mr. Lee discuss famous literary novels with some of our Compton students, an absolute must listen, especially for those Year 11s who have their mocks coming up after half terms. We have live music from some incredibly talented Year 11 students, both singing and piano, and then a little chat with one of them. We have some of our ex-sixth formers who came back for graduation evening and celebration evening talking about BTEC health and social care and how much that has changed their life for the better. And at the end, we have a really, really, really interesting segment with some of our year 13s who went on a trip to Auschwitz-Birkenau in Poland and are talking about how that's impacted their life, because it was certainly a very interesting trip for them. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome everybody to this week's edition of The Bywater Show. May I welcome our special guests firstly.
Hi, my name is Rhoda. I'm in year 13.
Hi, I'm Winter and I'm also in year 13.
And as usual we have...
Miss Bywater.
Okay, so this week's edition is An Inspector Calls. So tell us, firstly, Miss Bywater, what's that about?
Right, so... One of the most popular plays on the GCSE spec. It's written in 1945. Precy sets this morality play in 1912 Northern England. We're instantly thrown into a dining room of an upper-class family, the Burlings, who are celebrating the recent engagement of their daughter Sheila and her partner or fiancé Gerald Croft. The evening is interrupted by a harsh sound of a bell and in comes the inspector. The inspector bluntly describes the death of Eva Smith, a girl we later learn is connected to each and every member of the Burling family and Gerald Croft. The inspector's role is to awaken the characters to their responsibility in the death of this young working class girl and ultimately, I suppose, to learn to change their selfish ways. In today's show, we've got Winter and Rhoda discussing Gerald Croft, Sheila's fiancé, who has an affair with Eva Smith, although she refers to herself as Daisy Renton. And you're going to discuss whether he is a villain or a knight in shining armour.
Indeed. So, first, quick recap. So, Gerald Croft, what was his involvement in the death of Daisy Renton? And how did he get to know her?
Gerald Croft met Eva Smith at the Palace Bar where Alderman Magarty was talking to her. And Gerald says, "The girl saw me looking at her and then gave me a glance that was nothing less than a cry for help."
Well, she looks like she's in trouble, doesn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
In this bar. This old man, I suppose, would say in modern terms, chatting her up.
Yeah.
But not being very nice.
Yeah, so he... In that sense, he goes there and saves her.
Saves her. Very interesting choice of word there. So in a sense, Gerald Croft is her saviour. Is that what you're
trying to say? Yeah, in terms of him like trying to save a woman from potentially being harassed by another man.
Very important perspective there. He saves a young woman from being harassed in a potentially dangerous situation. So he's a hero, right, Winter?
No. He is a villain all the way.
How so?
Obviously, he used her vulnerability against her. He also groomed her. He said, "I made her go to Morgan Terrace because I was sorry for her." So this is after they've had the, I wouldn't say romantic time, but they had their...
liaison.
Yeah, liaison. And he represents how the upper class use people and then toss them aside when they're no longer useful.
Okay, right, because in the first place, yeah, he does save her and protect her from one man, but then another man, according to Winter himself, becomes a threat because he uses her and perhaps abuses her.
Can I just say, you took a quote out of context. If you say the whole quote, "I want you to understand that I didn't install her there so that I could make love to her. I made her go to Morgan Terrace because I was sorry for her and didn't like the idea of her going back to the Palace Bar. I didn't ask anything in return."
He still had Sheila waiting for him. So, especially to a modern reader, that's like really, really negative because we're at a time where we should respect men and women equally. And I feel like it's not only about class, but also shows us how patronizing men could have been at that time. It shows through Gerald and Mr. Burling and the way that they treat their partners. For example, Gerald didn't want Sheila to be there to witness his confession, and he's patronizing towards her. He says, "I think Miss Burling ought to be excused. She had a long, exciting, and tiring day." So now, from a modern reader, I feel like that you're just trying to be patronizing. You just don't want me to witness
the fact that you've had an affair.
Exactly, the fact that you have an affair. So you're trying to cover it up by trying to be nice to me in a way. And that's not how it works. So although he thinks that he felt sorry for her, he still used that at the end of the day.
I suppose that word feeling sorry is interesting because, like you say, it is patronising the sense that the upper class would have to save the working class if the class system wasn't the way it was. Would he have had to save her? I mean, I suppose we've missed a point. It's not just Alderman McGarty that's a threat. Why else does she need saving at that time?
Anywhere to go at that time, does she?
Yeah. Nor no food, no money, she hasn't eaten in days.
To the quote of she was like asking for like a cry for help, that emotive language, it makes us feel like Gerald was genuinely felt sorry for her and wanted to help her. Like, yeah, he might have used her, but compared to all the other characters, like compared to the rest of the Burling family, he helped her more than not helping her. Characters, they got her fired from her job twice, and then Mrs. Burling refuses to help her. So in that sense, compared to the other characters, he helped her. Even if it was just for that short time, he still helped her.
He pitied her. He didn't help her. There's a difference. When you help someone, you help them because you love them, you care for them. If he really cared for her, he wouldn't give her a part-time happiness and then leave her. I just feel like that's not fair, and he also has no remorse or regret after the inspector leaves. In fact, he goes out to check if he's real or not, and he was telling the Burlings that there was no Inspector Gould.
Yeah, he's the first one to realise it's a hoax, isn't he? And he runs home to tell them.
Now, that just shows some bad behaviour, and a bad behaviour of a villain, to be honest.
As if he hasn't learned anything from the whole experience. Although the inspector does say, right, that Gerald is the one character who at least gave Eva Smith some sense of happiness, in spite of the fact that perhaps, as Winter says, he was only using her. And if I'm not mistaken, Sheila does eventually come to respect the honesty shown by Gerald. Though, doesn't excuse grooming and abusing, does it? Oh, say it.
Men are trash.
Headline sorted. So, without further ado, thank you very much for joining. You've been listening to The Bywater Show.
You're listening to the Compton School Podcast.
So that was a piece done by Harvey. So a few quick questions. How did you get into music?
So I started in primary school. We had the opportunity to learn instruments. And I decided to play the piano for no particular reason in about year two, year three, I think. And so I did some classical pieces, went through the grades. But then I started wanting to do my own thing. So I started improvising, just found some videos on YouTube, see what I could do. And that's where I got.
Thank you for that piece, Harvey. And thanks for having a chat with us.
You're listening to the Compton School Podcast.
We had our first ever cohort of BTEC Health and Social Care, and we have students Holly and Charlie joining us. Holly is currently on a gap year and going travelling later on, and Charlie is at Sheffield University.
Okay, back. Holly, Charlie.
Hi.
So, one of the really exciting things about how you've ended up where you are is you did not just do A-levels.
No.
You also did a BTEC. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so our BTEC was actually its equivalent to 3 A-levels. So we didn't
do
A-levels.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah.
So it's just the BTEC.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting.
And it was all sorts. It was anatomy and physiology. It was
BTEC in health and health and social care.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So it's anything to do with health.
Yeah. And it was, we had like 4 exams and a lot of coursework.
Wow.
So you really, it wasn't just like you worked a little bit here and there and then you
it
just
like
really
a regular
did
thing.
Well with the exam. It was like a continuous.
I think for university that's, so are you finding that at university it's the same sort of thing?
One of the great things is one of the units in it was a work experience one. So you did get that really great sense of work.
So you did a work experience when you were near 13?
Yeah, we had to complete 100 hours of work experience.
Oh my God, that's a lot of hours.
Yeah. There was also a booklet we had to fill in and it was...
Oh yeah, all sorts of questions. Like, yeah, we really had to monitor ourselves and our workplace. So it was really interesting.
That sounds really interesting. So what work experiences did you do?
I worked at a care home for old people.
Oh, nice.
And I worked in London in a rehabilitation centre
for
NHS. Yeah.
Wow, that must have, for both of you, must have been intense.
They were very specific of what we could do and what we couldn't.
Mm. Yeah, so definitely. So that helped. But yeah, it was so interesting. It was really, really just like amazing to experience it.
Great. So I know lots of students don't really know about BTECs as being a good option. What would you say to them?
Well, I think that, if I'm being honest, I think BTECs really prepare you for just any future experience. One, uni. Two, work. Because
It's a lot more real.
Yeah, it's realistic. You, like I said, like before, you have to continuously work at a good level, at a constant level, and like build on yourself and learn new experiences. And I think it's more, like I said, just realistic compared to A-levels.
Yeah, I think it's so good that the school provides a variety of options because A-levels aren't for everyone, and also they shouldn't be. Like, that's
no,
not the point.
Everybody's different. Everybody's a different learner. Like, I have severe dyslexia, so I really struggle with exams and just the way I think. So being able to work on and build my work continuously was like really important for me.
That's fantastic.
I know that for me that I also wasn't, I'm not the best at exams. So only being able to do 4 exams and the rest of it being coursework.
Such a gift.
I'm a lot better at.
Yeah.
That's great. It's lovely to hear someone or people talk so positively about the BTEC course.
Yeah.
And hopefully more and more people see it as a great option for their actual lives.
Yeah. And they have such brilliant teachers as well. Like Miss Polity Brown was amazing.
I've heard fantastic things.
Yeah. She's honestly she's just the best teacher ever.
I will make sure she listened to exactly this just for that.
She seriously is though.
You're listening to the Compton School podcast.
Hello, we're here at the Jack Petchy Award and we're going to have a performance by Jasmine and Dora.
Wise men say only fools rush in. I can't help falling in love with you. Shall I stay? Would it be
listening to the Compton School Podcast.
Hello, I'm two with our fantastic Year 13 students. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Okay, I'm Yasmin. I'm in Year 13. I study history.
I mean, I'm in 13M. I do English, history and chemistry.
Awesome. So would you like to tell us what you're here to talk about?
So in October, Yasmin and I went to Auschwitz-Birkenau as part of the Holocaust Education Trust, and we're here to just pass on what we learned as part of the lessons from Auschwitz.
How come you ended up going on that trip?
I guess we both had an interest in expanding our knowledge on the Holocaust. We thought it was a pretty good idea for us to go together and see for ourselves, like, the place and what happened, you know, first-hand experience.
I think for me, what was it, in primary school, they mentioned World War II, then they mentioned the Holocaust, but all they said about the Holocaust was the fact that only 6 million Jews had died. But then I thought, as a young person, like, that's quite disturbing to know that so many people had died because of their religion, and the fact that there was an opportunity available for me to go to a place that was such a massive part of it, I think would bring history to life and go beyond the textbook.
Yeah, we both thought it was quite important to see for ourselves, you know. I feel like learning it from a textbook or from a lesson isn't the same as actually going and seeing for yourself.
That makes so much sense. I guess that's why it's so important, especially in history, to have these trips where you can go. And the school does trips to Berlin, for example, and it is so important. So had you been before at all?
No, that it was my first time.
But it was our second time to a concentration camp.
Yeah.
Because you went to one when you went to Berlin.
In GCSE.
Yeah.
What felt different?
I think the fact that the trip was just dedicated to visiting Auschwitz, and I think the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Was just everyone knew that we're going to a place that was renowned for persecuting and killing people.
I feel like there's a lot of things that aren't talked about unless you go there and see for yourself. So I guess, like, going to a concentration camp at GCSE, like, the shock factor wasn't there since we've already been there before. But there's just so much that you learn when you go there that just makes the whole experience so much more different.
Like what? Do you mind giving us an example?
I think we went to 2 gas chambers, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went to 2. They were quite different. I think part of the trip that shocked me the most was the human hair. That's the one part of the trip that just gave me, like, shivers. Like, it made me feel like a type of way that I've never felt before. And it's just unexplainable, you know? That's the thing I'm talking about. Like, you need to be there yourself because you just can't explain it properly.
I think for me, when we went to Auschwitz Camp 1, there was a block where in the bottom corridor, they had, like, photos of people who were out Auschwitz, of prisoners there. And I think seeing that and then seeing how real it was, the fact that 6 million Jews were killed, and of every single person, someone lost their mother, their father, a person in their community, I think that the great part about history is that you're learning about the past, but if you limit your understanding to a textbook in the classroom, you forget that it's real and it is what happened to people.
Yeah, definitely. That makes a lot of sense. What were the other people on the trip? What was the general demographic?
We went with state schools from North London. So that's how we got there. And I think just being a people who also had an appreciation for history, who understood how important it is to learn from the past, I think helped a lot.
Do you think trips like that should be compulsory?
Honestly, yes. I feel like we were so lucky that both of us got picked, because after I came back from the trip, I just told everyone, like, I recommend anyone to go, like, at least once in their life. I feel like it's an important part of people's lives that to experience something in real life. I think, like, the trip just resonates with some of my personal beliefs, and it just brings everything to life. And, like, you know, the whole point of the trip to show people that we can't make the same mistake twice. And I feel like the best way to do that is just see for yourself.
But also the message of the Holocaust Memorial Day for 2020 was standing together. And I think with the current situation that we're in, of the rise in anti-Semitism and the rise in ideas that fuel the Holocaust, it's so important to go there and see for yourself, because I think a lot of people know what happened in the Holocaust, but they're not willing to properly understand that those ideas that fueled it are so relevant in society today.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. It's really great to hear you guys talk so eloquently about such a difficult experience. What are the things that really stuck with you when you came back?
When we went to Birkenau, which was, like, just before the sun was setting, we were standing on the rail tracks that led inside the concentration camp.
Such a powerful image, that one.
And like you can't say that the view was beautiful, although that the sun was setting and like it was quite empty. You just couldn't say, oh, it was beautiful, because of the history that happened there. Like the stuff that went on, it's just impossible, and it's quite weird.
I think just the sheer size of Auschwitz-Birkenau, there were three main sections to it. And the fact that someone put all the effort and energy to building all of these and then putting people into it, I think it's quite scary and uncomfortable to see that. So when I came back home, I felt a bit out of place. I felt so privileged, the fact that I can stand it and not be persecuted for my identity or anything that defines who I am.
Yeah. Did you go with any survivors? Were there any survivors with you out there?
So we had
a seminar beforehand.
Yeah.
And we had a survivor give a sort of a lecture to us about her experience. And then when we went there, we went with, I think, an Orthodox rabbi and also, I think, another rabbi as well.
Well, that sounds difficult and powerful, and it really sounds like you have brought back some really interesting thoughts. Is there something that you feel as the Compton School we could be doing, should be doing?
I think just to have diversity more celebrated in the school, because right now what we are seeing what in politics is, people want society to look a certain way, act a certain way, but rather we should celebrate diversity rather than see it as a cause of stress or problems.
And the Compton community is an incredibly diverse community.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is fantastic ideas. I think celebrating diversity is a fantastic thing to take out of any trip to Auschwitz-Birkenau. Thank you guys so much for talking about it. Is there anything else you want to say?
Thank you for the school for giving us that opportunity.
Yeah, definitely.
And to also see history beyond the numbers and statistics, because if you limit the Holocaust of a death toll, you forget how real it was and how so many people were lost within that.
Yeah, each one of those people was a person.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. You guys both talked completely eloquently about a really difficult thing. Yeah, thank you very, very much for your time. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Compton School Podcast. As usual, if you'd like to get involved, come see Mr. Jana Klausner, Mr. Lee or Mr. Pluck, also Miss Walker Nolan, and please come with any idea you might have. We are looking to expand the show and see all the fantastic things that the Compton School community has to offer. After half term, we will have competitions and lots more exciting content to come on the Compton School Podcast. Make sure to share with your friends, family, everyone you've ever met. Thank you very much for listening.